back again, this time doing the movie from 2003, Old School, starring Will Ferrell, Vince Vaughn, Luke Wilson, a murderer's row of oh, middle-aged white guys at the time. Like, very popular,
Yeah.
very famous. Directed by Todd Phillips, who has gone on as to do the Joker movies. Also did the Hangover movies. Yeah, very, very well established director. Yeah, did the Hangover movies. So Old School, Starsky and Hutch, Borat, he was a part of. Hangover movies, the Joker movies. He was a producer on A Star Is Born. Really prolific career. Kind of an odd figure. Maybe we'll get into that a bit. We'll definitely talk about Will Ferrell. His career at this time, 2000s. Man, what a wild time. And it's a really a transitional era
It
in
very
entertainment.
much is. I would say this movie, to a certain extent, is kind of a part of that for sure. Because I don't know if it's not necessarily the first movie that all these folks were in, but maybe it is. It's definitely like early on in this kind of like actors troupe of like people who made a bunch of movies together for the next 5 to 10 years.
It's weird. Let me look at Will Ferrell's filmography, because this is the beginning of a shift of his career. This
Absolutely.
was his first lead role. Well, I guess Luke Wilson is the lead, but when you think about Old School, you really think about Will Ferrell.
Absolutely.
More so than like he was in a Night at the Roxbury
I
before,
was gonna say he
but that
might have
was,
been in a Night at the Roxbury.
like about the sketch. You know?
Right. Yeah, that's your classic SNL movie, right? Like
Yeah, like that wasn't like
Pat
when
or
seeing Will Ferrell, that was like these characters in the sketch everybody likes at in the 90s. We made a low budget movie of them walking around bumping into people in the club obnoxiously.
right. They did that with that Mary Catherine Gallagher superstar skit, right? There's a few
Yeah.
of those
Ladies
skits that
Man
they
had a
made.
movie.
Ladies Man had a movie, yeah, for sure.
And he was in Zoolander, he was the villain. This was a Ben Stiller led pick, right? The Zoolander.
That's right.
So I would say Old School really started what this group called the Frat Pack.
That makes sense.
Like Owen Wilson, Ben Stiller, Will Ferrell, Steve Carell, Jack Black, Paul Rudd, and Vince Vaughn. That's who they're including in this group.
Yeah.
Who led movies in the 2000s that were really like about, they were, to me, they're really about whiteness.
They're definitely about a
Adult male
certain,
whiteness.
yeah, they're definitely about a certain, they're about a certain type of specifically white guy. Like they're all, everybody you just named there is that, right? And it's kind of like an aging frat boy.
The white guy that's like not super macho, but is also not completely, I'll just use a term like evolved, you know? He's not really sensitive. He's not really understanding. He's somewhere in between. He's kind of caught between two eras. The era that was coming and the era that had just passed. Really like a remnant of the 80s, the guys that grew up on 80s movies but were never like going to be Arnold, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Like, to me, this was like a list of guys who like went to high school and college in the 90s,
Right.
and they very much kind of reflected like that generation kind of turning into middle age, right? Like, I felt like Luke Wilson, I think, is like 30 or early 30s. Like all these characters seem like they're supposed to be in their kind of early to mid 30s in this movie.
It's really like the era of like, it's really the era of lazy white guys. It's the guys that went to college in the 90s, but college for them was about partying.
Yeah.
They grew up on the college movies of the 80s, right? Revenge of the
Yeah.
Nerds. They went
Well,
to
it's funny
college
because
to party and smash. Then as adults, they were listless and like just kind of floating around and kind of still looking to party. And it wasn't the same obligation to get married, start a family,
Yeah.
have all this responsibility that it had been for the
Yeah.
generation before. So it was kind of the first generation whose job it was to go to school and get a degree. And then whatever else, you'll figure it out. Just the idea that they would just figure it out. But society wasn't really set up for them to figure it out. So they languish. And I think you see that today, and in a couple generations later, that has become like a malaise or even a violence. And back then, it was just kind of a wandering, you know, and a trying to recapture those college, that college glory.
But I would also, I think that's a really interesting like argument or position. I don't really know how to, but I think that's super interesting. But I would also argue towards the end of that a little counter in the sense that I do think maybe there wasn't that sort of violence or malaise to this, but there's certainly kind of a closeted aggression. There's a
Exemplified
closeted.
by Will Ferrell's character, I think, in this movie.
Yeah, so closeted aggression, and there is a nonchalance, not malaise, but nonchalance, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, so it's interesting that you say that because I definitely see the continuity between like some of the things that I see in this movie, and kind of some of the things that are more prevalent today.
So, to me, that makes this really the birth of bro comedy that
Yeah, for sure.
dominated the 2000s. And I feel like in the 90s, coming out of, and in the 80s, we had high premise comedies. But these movies were also meant to be for the family, to reflect pretty much traditional values, the values that were kind of established in the 60s and old Hollywood. Not so much the counterculture of the 70s, although there might be a character or two that represents that, but
Yeah.
you know, it was a lot of high premise with like a lot of sweetness and heart. Think about Robin Williams movies, like a Mrs. Doubtfire, high premise, right?
Right.
Or even Eddie Murphy's like Coming to America, high premise. Groundhog Day, you know, high premise. And it's about the characters learning the importance of family, you know,
Yeah.
the importance, basically the importance of family. I think you could wrap up all the lessons somewhere in that story of the importance of family. Bro comedy is much more individual centered, right? To me.
Yeah.
And it was a response to the 90s or the comedy that came before, not just the 90s, but, you know, old school has a premise. It's not a no premise film. It's not like mumblecore, and but it's not a high premise either, really. You know, it's kind of middle brow, and the characters like are in this world of family values, but they kind of reject them. They're like, why do I have to do that? You know,
Yeah.
the wife is cheating early on. The husbands aren't really listening or anything. Like, kids are kind of, if they're there, they're just kind of nuisances, you know.
Yeah, these are the worst marriages I've ever seen in my life.
Why are any of these people get married to each other, you know?
No, I was sitting there trying to look it up because I couldn't remember, but it's funny you were talking about the fraternity thing, and I did read when I was like watching a movie, I'd like I don't know, went on its Wikipedia or something. They were saying that this kind of started off. I think I saw that Road Trip was first, and I think that's from Todd Phillips too, or he was involved.
Yeah, he did Road Trip.
But so it was like, I guess there was some deal made to like make a, let's say a five picture deal. I can't remember what it was, but there was like some sort of deal made to like make a bunch of like to revive the frat movie genre. You know what I mean? From the, Animal House and the Revenge of the Nerds were like specifically two that were named. So definitely to your point about these are the folks that grew up on the 80s frat movies, like, it, literally, Animal House and Revenge of the Nerds and those movies were some of the ones that they were modeling this after.
So in some ways, like I can really respect that. And I don't even know that this is a good or bad movie.
Yeah.
But I think this era really damaged the American psyche, the mainstream American psyche. And this movie is a part of it. It drives towards
Oh.
more individualism. It makes a family, it's almost like the lineage of Married with Children. Even though I think Married with Children, in an undertone, still promoted family. But Married with Children was a response to like the family-friendly sitcom, right? So
Yeah, right.
Al always played like he hated his family and they hated each other. They argued and they didn't have sex and he had a bad job, menial
Yeah.
job. And this movie reflects that. It's like the growth out of that. It's like, oh, well, we have these crappy cubicle jobs and we work for it. You know what I mean? Go
Yeah.
home. The wife's kind of prudish. The kids are annoying. I got to have my own space, my own man cave. Not that all that was in the movie, but this is all what comes from it or what even led to it. It's
Yeah,
keeping me from being the fullest version of myself, which is this fun, quasi-alcoholic, free spirit, that I was in college.
it's funny because when you were talking about some of that stuff earlier, I was also thinking one of the things that's missing is these guys all drink a ton too, right? Like that's a thematic tie through all these movies is getting wasted. But yeah, man, it really is interesting. I haven't really thought about it in relation, but it makes perfect sense. This is also one of those movies in the same branch, but like very influenced by Office Space too. That would have been a few years beforehand, 5 years beforehand. But like, I think Office Space in some ways was less immature in the sense that like, none of those adults were trying to be kids. They were just kind of rebelling from what they felt were like menial jobs or soulless jobs, right? They were trying to find a little bit who they were. Whereas, the response in this movie is, no, let's just go back to college and get drunk and have sexual encounters with young women. Like in 2000, we haven't done impressions. I guess I kind of segued into mine, unless you've got something else you want to
Hey, it's a free-flowing conversation.
do.
Where it goes is where it goes.
It's a free-flowing conversation. This is America. Anyways, like I enjoyed this movie when it first came out in 2003. I was a freshman in college, so it was in some ways built for me. I guess built for our generation. It was big on our dorm hall that year. Looking back at it now as a 41-year-old man, my God. Like my God. And it's
Yeah,
funny.
I think I appreciate it more now, but it is hard to, and I think I keep thinking about it in terms of like a better movie or like more of like a throwback movie.
Yeah.
So I'm putting things, I'm projecting on the scenes what I would rather see, rather than what's on the screen sometimes, because that could be a good story, like a better like kind of morality into it.
Yeah.
Even where these guys like kind of fall into being a party house instead of like so aggressively go after it,
Yeah.
and then they do go back to their families, and the main guy and his wife, maybe they don't reconcile if she's out over here having threesome orgies or whatever, but he has a better ending than what it was. Or his relationship with the his love interest in this movie is a little bit more well, has a little bit more depth than just the kind of into each other, then his frat reputation gets in the way. And then she finds out the truth. It's like very, it was really kind of too easy.
And it's funny, like even in that regard, right? Like his rival, is set up for his rival for the romantic partner, right? Is like Craig Kilborn, and he's like set up as like he's this really bad guy. And it's funny because like Luke Wilson is only a good guy in relation to that really intentionally shitty guy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and so
Over the top
it's like over
crappy
the top
guy.
crappy guy, you know what I mean? Yeah, there's so much that I find in this movie that like really traces to some of the like things that are going on today.
Oh
Like,
yeah, this was the beginning of, the white guy being like, trying to reclaim their status, their perceived status.
yeah, very much so. Like, and that's the thing. Like, these guys in this movie, which is really funny, right? Is like, they're not cool, right? They weren't cool
Right.
as young
No.
guys.
They
Like,
weren't cool. They weren't cool. Revenge of the Nerds again. Like, they are not cool guys.
they're not cool guys. Like, they were burnouts. Like the one character who's supposed to be like the antagonist, Beanie, is like, or no, not Beanie. That's the Vince Vaughn character. But the like
The
the
Jeremy
teen,
Pip
yeah, Jeremy
the
Piven
Jeremy
character.
Piven, yeah.
But like that character. Like he's made to be like kind of the stick in the mud, but like no, he's very clear throughout the movie. You guys are a bunch of burnout losers, and you always were.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's really funny that it's like, oh, now that we are, 30, 35 years old, we've been working for 10 years, we've maybe amassed some success. Now we're really cool college guys because we have like money and status.
Yeah, because we're,
Very strange.
yeah, and that's why we get to relive college. As adults, it's not even like Revenge of the Nerds, because the nerds are like the lowest of the low. It's like these guys represent the average man, right?
Right.
And the average man who feel like he didn't really get a chance, or he didn't find his thing to really, really shine, but he had a good time in college. But he could have had a better time if he knew what he knew now. So he gets to go relive it. And I think white guys have been reliving college ever since, and it's just been growing. America is a white guy's college, but
You
like
know,
a state school.
and like it's funny, like I said, this is a movie that I enjoyed. I enjoyed a few of these movies with like this again actors troupe, the frat pack or whatever. But this is definitely one of those movies, more so than a lot of other comedies, that like this movie is some people's entire personality. Like quotes from this movie is how many Americans communicate solely. You know what I mean? This and the Office Spaces and some of the other maybe movies from like Will Ferrell and some of these other guys. Meet the Parents, so on and so forth. So it's really funny. Like it's very much like the audience is made for is also who the protagonists are, right? Like
Yeah, they nailed. I mean, this movie is kind of brilliant in that sense of what it captured, when it captured, and how it presented it. Like, from a marketing standpoint, it really hit so many, it nailed so many bullseyes. It's crazy.
It's very meaningful for a lot of people. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's a meaningful movie. It's one that matters to them, and they watch it regularly, you know what I mean? So,
And this is really their victory, It's their victory. At the end, they win. Jeremy Piven's character is fired.
Right.
They move into the guy's house. He gets the girl. Luke Wilson gets the girl. Frank leaves the fraternity. It's like, oh, they just all win. They all get. They get a certain kind of victory at the end that I think it's kind of the wrong kind of victory in terms of like the kind of values that should be promoted. And not to be like prudish, really. But I just think this movie is like the right story wrapped in the wrong package.
Ever since you became a dad, no, I'm just joking. No,
It's probably true. It's true.
but seriously, it is.
Well,
It's not just a
that's
family.
interesting
It's a
because
family values thing, though. It's just a values thing.
it's just a values thing, and it's like primal values, not like traditional primal values. Like, if you're a man, and this is maybe even a bigger discussion or something to define a little bit more, but these guys develop a sense of responsibility for their fraternity, but they're not building anything for the future. They're not establishing themselves or making connections and things that put them in a position to fulfill their role. They're completely self-serving, you know?
Yeah, the party is the purpose.
The party is the purpose.
The party is the purpose.
And that's just not the way humans can function. That's just not real.
Now, this is going a little bit off topic, and this is definitely a bigger conversation for another day, but it's like it also makes me think of like the huge space that, again, not just this movie, but all the movies with these guys, the Hangover, they're all this. They're not the same, but they all have a similar outcome to what we're talking about. And that being like a defining genre of the 2000s and 2010s, the party was the purpose, and then like the pandemic hit and the bill came due. And I really feel like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a little bit too much to get into, but you know what I mean? Like,
No, like even like first a recession hit, and that
first
lets you
recession.
know that it's actually not all sweet. You know what I mean? Yeah, and then the pandemic hit. Ooh, yeah. See, man, that's true. That felt like, you
There's
know what I
something
mean? That hit right here. Like, yeah, I
there.
think that this.
There's something there, man. Like, there's something about American culture in that time period that is encapsulated, and that's kind of why we do these, especially the older movies, right? It
Yeah.
shows something about the time. But yeah, the party was the purpose, and then suddenly the bill was due, man.
Bills do.
And it
And
maybe that's why it's not as enjoyable for me to watch it now. Maybe that's part of the many things that no longer mesh as well, but yeah, it definitely seems a very different time in a lot of ways.
the party was the purpose, and when the bill came due, only those that could afford the bill could remain in charge.
All of us, yeah, only those who afforded the bill began making decisions.
I also think this movie makes me think of the movie The Apartment. We did The Apartment, didn't we? Maybe way long ago? Or maybe
I think yeah, I think
that was
y'all
before
were
you were
the
doing
1960s was
it.
the yeah. I wasn't on that one, but yeah, you did it. I did see it.
And it makes me think of The Apartment because The Apartment is actually a similar story in a sense about male debauchery and guys living out their fantasy with his individual mindset. Like, he's renting his apartment out. And it's almost like, for this to be a better movie, it needed, was it John Lennon? Not John Lennon.
Jack Lemon.
Jack Lennon.
Lemon.
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 It needed like that character or somebody to realize at some point, because what they're doing when they start this fraternity, they're still exploiting all these other kids.
For
And
sure.
the movie tries to make it seem like, oh, we're helping them get their confidence. They're doing a frat for people that didn't have their own frat.
Right.
But no, you're using college kids for your own like personal ego. It's building your ego. It's building your, and maybe they're getting something out of it too, but that still doesn't make you in the right, for how you're doing it. Because you could start a business or just a club without it being a frat and doing all this hazing thing. You can find ways to help these kids, these college kids, I think, differently than almost getting them expelled. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And like again, this is a movie, and there's a part of it is the fantasy, right? Of the fan, the fantasy and the lunacy of it, right? The ludicrousness of it is part of the comedy, right? That these grown men would want to go back and start a frat. But ever forward to 2025 and beyond, it just it does. This is going to sound really snobbish, but it occurs to me more and more that I don't think as much of the audience gets the joke as we think. Whether it's in a movie like this, that's kind of like
I think that's Todd Phillips' whole career. I think he see things, oh, and not to give him too much credit or to take away too much credit from him, but I think he sees things and makes these movies, and the audience sees them a little differently. And that also makes him successful. He's operating on multiple levels. But the impact, because there's actually no consequences for them in this movie. They cheat when they're going through their assessments or whatever. They cheat on a test. And we never did that's never revisited or dealt with. The only real consequence is the older guy dies in the wrestling match. But he dies in like the best way, in like a
Yeah,
rude wrestling match,
oil
basically.
wrestling match with two young nigger women. But it makes me think, like, before we were just chatting as we normally do before we started recording, we were talking about kind of like villains, right? And the anti-hero, things like that, and the problems with that in modern kind of writing and in the industry. And definitely, even as I've thought, of like these billionaires who are like, yeah, we don't need to worry about this planet because we'll just go colonize Mars. And it's like, just like Ray, Robert Heinlein or Isaac Asimov said, it's like, no, you didn't get what they were saying in their stories.
Yeah,
Like,
you didn't
that
read the
wasn't
book. Did
the point.
you read the whole book? It didn't end, none of them end that well. Like, none of them end so great.
Right, like that's there's a point here, and I want to extend that to this same like comedy film itself, and maybe even genre comedy. Like I do wonder if the audience got the joke.
I don't think so. What the audience learned and what we've learned now, and I think it's really going to affect, people 20 and younger and new generations, is that there aren't any consequences. Is that doing bad? Because what you learn from this movie, not only do the guys have no consequences, they all have a happy ending. The uptight dean or whatever is fired. So it's like, okay, caring about your job and trying to do your job too much is bad now. Not only that, but then these actors all do it again and again and again and make more and more money playing these roles. This isn't a
And they
knock on
become
them.
less fun as their careers go on.
But it's not like I'm not even trying to knock the actors for doing more movies. This is about society that supports them. Because Will Ferrell's a funny dude. He would have done funny movies whatever time movies were being made. He would have adapted his character. Vince Vaughn is a funny guy. An actor I actually really like watching, even in some other things he's done. And these guys have presence on screen. Like, they were going to be successful. They're products of their time. But when a guy does this movie, Old School, and then Anchorman, where he's an idiot who also everything works out for him, or Kicking and Screaming, where he's kind of the same, similar character to Old School. But it all works out for him. There's no real consequences. And on down, his filmography, like funny, some of these movies, people like a lot of these movies. Step Brothers is another one, like just absolute idiots. Like, people don't get the message though. They just see like, oh, I the message becomes I should do what serves my carnal interests most, and that will work out. Where like the eternal message from like basically every religion and philosophy and history is to do what serves you best holistically, not carnally, not party. You know what I mean? It's like a Zen balance is what literally every religion, every philosophy is talks about.
Is
But these are
about
all about overindulging in the physical self, which to take it to like a Christianity thing, it's like the earthly physical form versus like the spiritual form, right? So these are all like overindulge in your physical form and you'll be fine. And then the lesson that society took from that and applied to life is like, yeah, no. Overindulge in the physical, make as much money as you can, more.
Yeah.
You know, we've eliminated hell from the discourse unless it's somebody else, and it's like you're going to hell. But it's like you're just indulging in yourself and, you know, doing the worst things and you receive no punishment for it.
Yeah. It is interesting. And that doesn't make me, I want to go back to something I just said based off of what you just said. Because I do really think that, not all of them, but that a lot of the movies with these guys become much less fun as that time period goes on, right? Like, I think Will Ferrell is such a kind of a goofy, goofball, comedic presence that his movies stay pretty fun, and his are probably of all of these folks the ones that I enjoyed the most.
Well,
But
he had the
like,
longest run, but it definitely dropped off. Like after the other guys, he did this movie with Mark Wahlberg. The movies after that, it's like if it wasn't animated, it was not a hit.
But I want to, like, I think about Vince Vaughn, right? Like, by the time you get to like a movie like The Breakup, I think that's the name of it, the one with, or The
Yeah, the
Divorce
breakup.
with him and,
Yeah.
yeah, The Breakup with him and Jennifer Aniston. Like, that movie's a comedy. There's nothing funny in that movie. Like, it's the things that are funny are just really just mean and cutting insults to one another, right? Like, and I
Right.
feel like that version of this comedy is what took over time. Like, a lot of these movies, like I would say even Starsky and Hutch after this, is less funny than this movie, but it's more
Yeah.
insulting. You know what I mean? And
Yeah.
like, or I think
Mean
about
comedy took over. Yeah.
or even like the guys who did Knocked Up and all these other movies. Like, by the time you get to like This Is 40 and those movies, like, we're not having fun anymore. There's no real comedy here. I get it, they were making a transition into more dramatic things, but I don't know. There's something about this brand of comedy that just, it became less fun over time too. It just got like literally less funny.
And I think that happens when you lose that moral center. Because I think comedies before, and the guys that a lot of these men look up to, the Mel Brooks, Norman Lear, and stuff. But like when the comedy is centered around heart, you can always find the funny. When it's centered around just being mean, like, yeah, I would say with Judd Apatow. Specifically, you said this is 40. Yeah, This Is 40 was not funny. I didn't finish that movie. I would say Funny People at 2009 was his last. And Funny People wasn't really funny. It was heart. It actually had, it did have heart, but it wasn't really funny.
Straight up, yeah, no, not really. It did have heart, to your point, but it wasn't really funny.
It wasn't really funny. And he's, you know, he hasn't really done funny things since. I'm not trying to disrespect anybody, but I think everybody has their own opinion, you know. And like you said, with Vince Vaughn, it was like he did the Be Cool movie, which was a little throwback kind of movie, and Wedding Crashers was 2005.
A movie I
After
do not
Wedding,
like.
you don't like Wedding Crashers?
It was too immature for me. Like, it was too much of this.
I think Wedding Crashers was pretty funny at the time. I don't disagree with you. Because it was very like when they get with the family and he's Owen Wilson's with the family, it slowly goes downhill to me with the Bradley Cooper's character. But then
I thought.
after that was the breakup, and you can like look at his career and see like, oh, he's doing less leading stuff. He's in an ensemble. He's a side character. You know what I mean? Like that kind of humor went, it's not that that humor went out of favor for something else, it's that we just slowly lost all humor. That was the problem.
Right. They just
Now we
become
don't have
less
any comedies in
humorous.
movies, you know,
You know what I mean?
in the theaters, yeah.
It just become less humorous. And even, I don't know, like, I think, like, in maybe like Talladega Nights, like, I find Sacha Baron Cohen to be really funny in that film. But like,
Yeah, that was a good one.
his like Borat character never really did it for me. But like, even then, like, there was like the rise of like a comedy that is like, but this isn't really humorous. This
Yeah.
is, there's like, it's insult. There's either insults or there's antics, but there's
Yep,
like,
more antics, yeah.
but there's not like funny stuff happening. I think that maybe crosses over to the audience too, because like, when you think of like a guy like Will Ferrell, like, yeah, he'll do something zany or antic, but like, that's also the result of decades of comedic training. You know what I mean? And so then
Right.
you get like people. I think that's another thing that this like average guy humor did, is it made average guys think they were funny. You know what I'm saying? And it's
Yeah.
like, you're not
That's
funny.
interesting
You don't have the
because
decades of training.
in going back to the 90s, as if this is the peak of comedy, maybe it was. I mean, it's great stand up, but you look at these guys that were funny then and they were not the average guys.
Yeah.
Robin Williams, Jim Carrey, like a Jamie Foxx, multi-talented
Martin Lawrence?
s singer, you know what I mean? Martin Lawrence was not the average guy. He was like the annoying little guy, you know?
Yeah.
Chris Rock at the time, he was not like the average guy, especially like the way he presented himself. He was like,
Especially
you know, the way he talked, that was like, he was
when he
not
came
average
in.
guy. Yeah.
Especially when you think about how he came in, super young, super skinny. He was that little dude on the street who talks a lot of shit.
Even like a Chappelle, who was kind of like, I would consider him like the chosen one, the LeBron James,
Yeah.
because you knew that he had been doing it as a kid, basically.
Yeah.
And he came up, and I think he was one of the actually first black comics to have that every guy feel.
Yeah.
Where like other black comics in history, they had a feel, maybe like an uncle or a grandfather feel, but it wasn't an everyman feel. And I
Yeah.
think Chappelle had that, but he was so polished. He wasn't on stage like meandering or hum. He was like joke, thought, joke, joke. You know what I mean? He was like nailing it, which made him so good at the time, but not the average man. And in the 2000s, you get the average man in movies and even in stand-up. And a lot of stand-up becomes, well, you see, the thing is, and guys are kind of like rambling on stage and that's introduced then, and it's like rampant now. I think people are trying to break out of that because the average person is not funny. And we spend so much time in conversation trying to make jokes in America. Like, can we just have a conversation? We don't have to add levity. So we can just be people. But everything has to like have an extra layer of levity or a joke. An average person, when they make a joke, it's gonna be racist. It's gonna be
Right.
sexist, you know?
Right.
So you meet somebody, or especially coworkers, they're like, "Oh, go to the bathroom. Gotta wash my back." It's like, no, you don't. Shut up. That's not funny, bro. Chill.
Right.
You
Yeah.
know?
Take it easy, my guy. Like, it's.
There's no, yeah, you know, it's like, and it just becomes fear projection. Like you said, the mean comedy is just fear projection.
You know what also strikes me? I can't remember the dude's name, and I'm not here to. Well, anyways, we criticize and talk about things on this show. So, but what was that dude's name? Dane something.
Dane Cook.
This was also his era,
Yeah,
where
he
he
was
was
funny
going on
too.
like
And he had a couple
stadium tour.
movies. Yeah, he was
You know,
big.
he
Oh
was
my
big,
God.
and he was just the average dude.
White dudes on college, man. I mean, we went to the
Love.
same college.
Oh my
These
God.
guys, yeah, Dane Cook became the avatar, man. And people like adopted his speech mannerisms, or they would tell jokes or retell Dane Cook jokes. I'd be like, have you seen Dane Cook? I'm so glad we didn't have social media in
Oh
college
my
during the Dane Cook
God.
era. I would have had to not follow anybody f at that age because it was, oh my God. Just you bringing it up is like,
I
I hate
completely
to say
forgot
things are
about that.
PTSD, but it's like it hurts to think about that era. And like you said, like Dane Cook wasn't like a bad performer or entertainer.
No, he was successful for a reason.
Yeah. He even had some funny stuff. It was just like the presentation and kind of what he stood for, and like the majority of his stuff was. And it's funny, so much of white comedy at this time was how everything sucks, and we're black looking at it like, oh, don't suck for you like that though.
It's all right. It's all right. Um,
What's really so bad? Like, oh, because I got all your same problems, but like a couple other ones.
oh man. So this reminds me, we speaking of college, we both went to the same college, like you just said. I remember there was a Chris Rock tour while we were
Oh
in
yeah.
college. You
Oh
know what I
yeah.
mean? I'm having trouble hearing you. I'm having trouble hearing you.
Okay. I don't
Just
know.
letting you know.
Okay.
No, I remember there was that Chris Rock tour when we were in college, and I remember like talking to some folks afterwards who were like, who were white and like were like self-regarded Chris Rock fans. And of course, this is like 2004, 2005. Things are political now, right? I remember like so many of these same folks who like loved the old school and loved the Dane Cooks and said they loved Chris Rock when he really started like actually like making social, political, and racial like commentary in his humor, like he hadn't always been doing it. They're like, oh, I don't know, I didn't like that show. It was a little too political. And like to me, even thinking about this conversation, that really does show like to me the like shift in comedy at the time. You know what I'm saying? Whereas
Yeah.
like Chris Rock being the same Chris Rock he's been for the last 5 to 10 years is suddenly a problem. But like, the Dane Cooks and the Owen Wilsons and so on and so forth, and everybody else who has like either the spiky swoop hair at the top or the like moppy flip hair is like supposed to be the guy.
The crossover era, which starts in the 2000s. Really interesting for Chris Rock. And maybe that's its own podcast even.
Maybe it should be,
But
yeah.
people forgot that Chris Rock was black.
Yeah, they really did.
You know? And he didn't forget, but he tried to do a lot of crossover stuff as Chris Rock. Chris
Yeah.
Rock is black, and Chris Rock has black concerns. And even if some things he says do or don't jive with the greater black community, or even if black people disagree, he's still black.
Yeah. And he's
And he
typically
still is.
speaking from that perspective.
He's critical of black people. He's critical of white people, for better or worse, whatever you think. So, Chris Rock had a couple movies in the early 2000s. Then he didn't. Then he was back to, smaller roles. So then he tried to do his own movies to, whatever levels of success. Then he was back doing animation. You know what I mean? And then he's in the Adam Sandler camp. But it's like, I think what I'm saying is there's a trajectory for Chris Rock that is maybe more similar to like Eddie Murphy becoming like a huge star in the 2000s that kind of didn't happen. It's not that Chris Rock's not a huge star, but another stratosphere, especially in terms of doing movies and things. I think that he was actually ascending to. Until the 2000s happened, and everybody was like, oh, wait, Chris Rock is actually like really, really black, dog. Like,
No, I think there's something to
we
that. Like,
like him, but we don't like him that much. We're not giving him this many like shows. And, he had his own voice and had his own things he wanted to do,
no, I think you're absolutely right in that because like he was built, he came up in that trajectory, right? In the Eddie Murphy era, right? Like we
Right.
talked about 90s comedies, right? That was Eddie
He was
Murphy
the
was the
successor.
king. Yeah, he was the successor, you know what I'm saying? Even you think like Martin Lawrence, kind of coming up in that time was he was well established enough that when this crossover era happened, like he still, he had like Black Knight, Big Mama's House. He still had a couple things that
Yeah.
kept coming out, you know what I mean? But like, yeah, I think, Chris Rock being a few years younger than them, yeah, it just like didn't really happen because by
And
the time he hit that thing, that movie had disappeared. That huge black movie star had disappeared.
so Chris Tucker is the black comedic movie star of the 2000s. Just off
Yeah.
Rush Hour. Just off
Yeah, you're
Rush
right.
Hour. Three Rush Hour movies. Chris Rock doesn't have any movies with, and until later he starts doing Adam Sandler movies. And that's kind of different. He's not like the co-star; he's just part of an ensemble. But no, like, where's a Chris Rock Will Ferrell movie that should have happened? Or the Chris Rock Judd Apatow collab? Like, Eddie was collabing with everybody in the 80s. He did his own Family Fare once he had, when his family was older and stuff. But I guess that's what I mean by Chris Rock's ascension. It's like, oh, he should have been co-starring, or he should have had a movie opposite Jennifer Aniston as like a love interest, like just a classic like movie of juxtaposition of two different cultures or something. But he was too brash for the mainstream.
Yeah, man, that, there's this you've talked to me, and I think you've definitely talked on the pod before about this crossover era. We've been talking about it for a while, but like there's something about that era that was like very much like it very much vibes separate but equal. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah, yeah.
it's very much like rather than have black movies separately, we'll bring back black actors in, but they won't be the leads. We won't pair, we like you said, Chris Rock and a Jennifer Aniston movie. That movie absolutely should have happened. I can't imagine a world in which that would have happened in the 2000s where Jennifer Aniston, every America's sweetheart, would have been in a movie as a romantic lead for Chris Rock. You know what I mean?
Chris
Like,
Rock, yeah.
and like. Just you saying that and highlighting how impossible that seemed in that time, like that seems less impossible in the 90s, honestly.
Yeah. Like
Could
some
I?
high premise thing happens that puts them together,
Yeah, that Eddie Murphy is like in a movie with, I don't know, Madonna or somebody. I like that seems much more doable in the 90s than it does in like that early to mid 2000s era.
Or like a Chris Rock, Will Ferrell body swap thing. You know what I mean? Like, but Chris Rock is like the rich CEO and Will Ferrell's the bum. But they have some magical thing, and now Will Ferrell's leading the CEO, but he's leading like BET, or he's leading a black company as Chris Rock. You know what I mean? Like, that never happened, but that's something like that should have happened.
Absolutely. It's funny, like you would think that would even happen with like as good as like with Sandler and Rock, as close as they are, you know what I mean? Not
Yeah, they would
that
have.
I'm not making any aspersions or anything, but just as close as they are, like that's the one that almost like seems like it should have happened, right? The Adam Sandler, Chris Rock body swap movie. Somebody get Adam on the phone right now. Like,
Come on,
let's
man.
make it now.
People will watch that. Yeah, people will watch that now for sure. So yeah, old school, a very touch point movie. It really.
A movie that inspires us to talk about other things.
It's really a reflection of society at the time, a harbinger of doom in many ways. And Todd Phillips, who continued to do this kind of thing. Maybe we'll have to do the Hangover in a few months, and so we can think about how that impacted things further. Because Hangover was crazy. That was another one. That was after. Yeah, well after college, but it's like this whole era, like it was like 12 years that just felt like college. If
Man,
you're
that's the
around like
best description.
if you're around like basically average white guy, it's like, oh, we're still in college. We're still doing college things, like, well, that just like was what permeates the culture, like
And
college,
it's it,
frat college.
frat college stuff. And it's like interesting because it's like, yeah, you think about it, like, even. For people who didn't go to college, you were still inundated with this kind of like frat comedy culture. So yeah, it kind of feels like societally like college for 12 years, absolutely. I guess what I'd say is I've always liked Luke Wilson. I for some reason have never liked Owen Wilson, but I do like Luke Wilson. I would recommend Blue Streak for anybody. Martin Lawrence and Luke Wilson, great movie. With a Dave Chappelle cameo.
Yeah,
No,
random
that's
movie.
That's how I'm in that. It's a great comedy. That's what I'm gonna end my old school thing with. Go watch
Just
Blue Streak.
randomly shouting out Blue Streak.
Black movie of
Blue
the
Streak
week.
and National Security. I like both of those Eddie Martin Lawrence cop movies.
Oh yeah, national security.
I would say what would have made this movie a little better is okay, if Luke Wilson's character is, well, doesn't have sex with his boss's daughter or whatever,
He's still in high school.
who was still in high school. She was just about to graduate high school.
Yeah, that was.
If he just has, he doesn't have to be the most moral person at the beginning of the movie, but he has to have like an opinion about things. He's just going through life too much,
Yeah.
you know? And if at some point around the midpoint, and I'm thinking about the apartment, 'cause like that main character, he was going along with it. He was letting the guys use his
Yeah.
apartment. But around the middle of the movie, and partially because he really liked the elevator girl, you could see him being weighed down by his decision to agree with that. And when he found out she was one of the girls, he was like, "You fucking kidding me, man?"
Yeah.
And Luke Wilson never had a moment that was like, "Fuck, are we doing?" And also, your wife is having like threesome orgies. A comedic twist could be like, "Okay, you. Why is that a? I think if you were doing it now, you'd be like, why is that a bad thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I
How do you
think
get? How do you become a part of that?"
so. Wait. So we're rewriting old school. So I'm into
Yeah, we're
it
rewriting from
now.
school.
I feel like it. I feel like midpoint is like, or maybe not midpoint, but at some point during this frat thing, he has a threesome, so that by the end they end up back together. He gets it now. He's into it.
But he has like a dude girl threesome. He's like, "Oh, that
Oh
would
yeah,
have.
for sure. Yeah, like he sees it.
I would have rather, or maybe it's two girls and him, but it's like, really wish my wife was one of these girls or something like that."
You're right. Yeah, and
I mean, that's still pretty absurd.
that'd be a funny way to
Like, at some point, he needed to have a convo with one of the frat kids needed to have a bigger role.
yeah.
And he needed to have a convo with them, and they're like, "This is why that's important to me," and like a real heartfelt scene. And this kid has a bigger role, and we follow his story a little bit more too, so that he can see that, like, oh, this actually isn't helping you. And also, I'm an adult in the real world.
Yeah.
Not only is this not really helping you now, it's not going to help you get it like post college.
Yeah.
Like, so how can I put you in a position to gain skills to be a successful adult so that you don't end up like I did, rather than just encouraging you to get drunk and cheat on tests so you can have this
Right.
fake frat? How do I help you plan for the future? And even how can your future benefit me? The eternal human exchange that we
Right.
really you have to learn as an adult, you know? And not that he has to use them for his future, but it's like, oh, if you have an idea, maybe we start a business together. I'll show you how to start a business, and then I can do business with you, or we can work together or something, you know?
Yeah. I think that definitely there was some mat like there needed to be a better maturation plot somewhere in here. And also like again, like it is so like fake aggro, right? It's so like it's so like, you know, kind of weakly macho. You know what I mean? Like it is funny to me that like the only like you know that his wife having threesomes, like obviously she was cheating on him, she was lying to him. Like that's a bad thing. But like that's it's almost like that's like some sort of emasculation, right, in the beginning. And Vince Vaughn is the only one who kind of even somewhat says it in a positive light, like, oh, she's very open-minded, but like you're supposed to understand that he's a piece of shit, right? And so that's not a valid opinion. And like I even think like at some point, like one of the kids should have been like, you know, getting close to him and like, you know, what happened with your relationship? And this is what happens, like, yo, you did what? That's like, you left her? Like, you know what I mean? Like, somebody should have, like, just even, like, questioned any of the
Or even
decision
like,
making.
this wasn't like a loser dude. He had a job.
Yeah.
Like, you could find, I know this is like his journey and he meets this Nicole girl in the movie, but he could have met another woman. He's got a divorce tale, you know what I mean? Like a story of divorce and his wife cheating. I'm like super sympathetic. He could have
Yeah.
found another partner if we're talking about, you know, relationship type thing or sexual thing without any of this. So it kind of set the movie kind of sets him up as a loser, but he's not. Not in the way
Well,
the movie sets him up. You know what I mean? He's
yeah.
just a regular dude, but he has a full-time job. He's just on a business trip. Like, he could go on another business trip and smash somebody on a business trip. Like, it's
He's
not like his wife
so.
left him because he just sits around playing video games all day. Maybe he's a little milk toast,
Yeah, he's vanilla.
but he's not like unappealing to somebody.
Yeah, he's Luke Wilson, right? Like
Luke Wilson. He just
oh,
has to find a girl who he thinks his wife really is, you know, but there's
no,
millions of them, you know, there's millions of average white women everywhere in the world, everywhere in America.
it's funny though, because like y to your point, like these guys aren't losers in the way the movie sets it up as. They're losers in the way that the movie is blind to, which is that, or at least that it doesn't make a big point of pointing out, which is that they can't talk to women. Like that's the thing. Like they can't, none of them have any like ability to communicate with the women in their lives. Like that's the entire movie. His like wife or girlfriend or whatever, she tells him, "I've been trying to tell you about this for a long time." You know what I mean? Like he can't have that conversation. Beanie, Vince Vaughn's character, and his wife have no communication. Will Smith and his fiance have absolutely
Will
no
Smith, Will
communication.
Ferrell.
Will Smith, Will Ferrell, and his
Yeah,
fiance. Yeah,
you let
that's
that
hilarious.
stand. Yeah, let that
That's
stand.
hilarious. No communication. And it's like even Luke Wilson's character with the, you know, Grey's Anatomy lady, like the first time he meets her is when he's like crying for himself and drunk off his ass at the wedding because he doesn't know how to talk to women. He got himself drunk and now he's like trying to hit on her.
Interesting.
They're not losers in the way the movie sets up, but they are losers in a way that nobody acknowledges.
Interesting because, you know, there's obviously a huge gender divide now between men and women. It's like men and women are against each other. Again, this movie like foreshadowing that. And
Huge.
I think that this idea that women are supposed to save you, and if they're not always actively doing that, then they're either hiding something or they're keeping you from your true like expression of freedom, or in some other way a ball and chain that you have to break free from by partying.
By partying.
Partying as hard as you freaking can.
We were both fans, well, probably still at this time. We were both, I remember you and I were both fans of Futurama. And I definitely feel
Yeah.
like that's a Futurama episode. It's some character that has to party and save the world or something like that. By
Yeah.
party.
Who was the guy that partied all the time?
Oh, man. Can't remember. Haven't watched it in a long time. Probably Bender.
No. Like a side character.
Oh, yes.
But not the hedonism bot. Not the hedonism bot. The
Flames Mackenzie.
squirms. Yeah, Mackenzie. He's had to party, man. He had to party on. That's all he could do. Partying was breathing for him. But also the idea that the party is like, yeah, alcohol, loose sex,
Yeah.
and drugs. It's not even the partying of like the hippies in the 60s and 70s. That was about freeing your mind and
Yeah, there's
exploration
nothing
and growing
connective.
consciousness. No, this is just partying for partying's sake. Feel bad in the morning to maybe you have a story about it that you can tell. But there's no balance. These movies begin to tilt off balance of American morality. That's it. Sum it up.
I feel it. Like, even like to your point, I mean, that's such a great point, right? Like the sexual freedom of like the 50s or the 60s and the 70s and all that stuff, like, right? There was something that was supposedly, at least in theory, connective there, right? But this is like an era that's like, no, you're supposed to rack up your score, right? Bang as many people as you can, but then awkwardly not talk to them the next morning. You know what I mean? Like, kind of passive aggressively get them out of your space as quickly as possible. You know what I mean? Like, this is that era. You know what I mean? It's there's something, you know, you and I were talking again even before, but like, there's just something so antisocial about the messaging that is kind of permeating society all the time. And this is very antisocial.
Antisocial, and also we talked about this really with the Twilight movies. Maybe not the Twilight movies. They were just sexual, but something very homoerotic. But
Oh,
it's all
yeah, for
about being,
sure.
it's all about being with the boys. Only about being with the boys. Open up to the
Yeah.
boys. Drink with the boys. Oh
Yeah, the
yeah,
women
you
take
know,
us away from the boys.
the women take us away from the boys. You got to be with the boys. We start this frat to be the boys. It's all the boys. We sleeping together. It's the boys. That's the
Right.
whole thing. And all throughout this era of movies, these frat pack movies, it's about how much you can be with the boys
Yeah.
and get away from the women.
Well, at the
Because the
same
women
time,
aren't constantly saving you from your, I don't know, childhood self or whatever psychiatric
whatever.
term, you know?
And at the same time, this movie opens almost like immediately with an F-bomb, right? Like with a gay slur. like
Right.
almost immediately. So it's like there's such a this era, such a it's so homophobic and yet homoerotic at the same time.
A better movie would have had Will Ferrell and Luke Wilson kiss at some point, even if they were just like, we don't know what happened, or,
Right.
but not even like a pet, like, and not like a tongue sloppy kiss, but just like a real intimate kiss
Yeah.
where they had to,
Yeah.
you know, be like, what are we? Maybe they don't do anything else, but it would have had to have like a 2 second, you know, lip lock.
Well, it's funny because I can immediately think of how Will Ferrell would sell that moment, right? He would immediately have a very funny line afterwards, like, what does this mean? Or something like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's such a comedic talent. He would have milked that moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he'd have been
But
like, I'm
yeah.
gay now. No, I still like women, but I'm gay now, something at the end, you know?
Was something ridiculous.
Yeah. Like, well, you're not gay, but anyway, ooh, I'm exhausted.
It's a tiring movie, man.
Oh, man. Good. It was a good one to pick for sure. Good one to pick.
It was interesting though, because again, like I think I enjoyed the movie more than you did at the time,
For sure.
definitely. And it was really interesting to revisit, because I feel like I thought I'd watched it much more recently, but it must have probably at this point been like at least 10 years ago. You know, everything from the last 4 years has no data signed to it, so who really knows?
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, man. Real interesting watch to sit back from this vantage point. I'm sure that I would love to see. I mean, this is basically like a midlife crisis movie, right? Even though these folks are only in their 30s, right? But like, yeah, there's probably a better midlife crisis comedy out there to be
This could
had.
have been a better movie and more of a classic because of the quality of the movie rather than a classic just because of what it says about society, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah, I feel like the classic of this movie is the cast. They were all
Yeah, them being together, them doing a movie together,
right
you
at
know?
that point in their career, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah. And you know, to your point, big I like Vince Vaughn. I really like his dramatic stuff. I think there was some dramatic movies he had in the 90s that really like got me into him as a performer. So it was interesting to see him being something a little bit more comedic in this. But yeah, it is interesting to see him kind of more in back in that kind of dramatic space these days.
Yeah, I
But
do
yeah,
like
man.
a lot of his dramatic roles. Okay,
2003's
cool.
finest.
2003's finest, man. Changed the world. Old school. I feel like there's still more to say, but we got to stop at some point. This is the perfect time.
Yeah, let's cut it.
Cut it.